Welcome to People You Need to Know on Spark Plug Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of Atlanta's People You Need to Know Business Guide, the publication that's guaranteed to raise your business profile. With billions online, our publication takes you beyond the internet so you can be seen, admired, and do business. Today's show is brought to you by Elite Chiropractic and Wellness, located at 4487 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. They can be reached at 404-228-6370. Remember, when it comes to chiropractic care, Dr. Lynn Lofton has your back. Once again, they're located at 4487 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Phone number 404-228-6370. Now, hold on to your seats because we have a pillar of society on the show today. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Atlanta's celebrated public health guru, Dr. Debbie Wallace, about today's hot topic, COVID-19, a back-to-school update. Our guest today was born on the beautiful island of Jamaica. She received her doctorate in public health from California's Loma Linda University. Her specialty is preventative care. She is the CEO of 360 Health Broadcasting Network, the number one health TV network in the world, and True Health Institute, a nonprofit organization. We are so very honored to have on the phone today Atlanta's public health superstar, Dr. Debbie Wallace. Welcome back to Spark Plug Radio.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
All right. Now, you doing okay today?
Yes, doing fantastic. It's a good day.
All right.
A day above ground, they say, is a good day.
All right. Well, we know you're extremely busy, so I want to get right into it, okay?
Yes, go right into it. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Wallace, can kids go back to school safely during the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, first, let me say that I'm a parent of a middle school as well as a high school student, and so I understand this issue. I am also a parent with school-age children, and I also have been a teacher. I've taught in school, so I know what it is like. I don't currently do that, so I can empathize with teachers as well. And I also, being a public health person and an owner of a business, I understand this is not an easy time for anyone. I completely get that. And I truly want to say first, I empathize. But the reality is, truth must be told. And the truth is, the answer is yes and no. Yes, kids can go back safely to school, but not the way that schools have usually conducted, not in a regular classroom setting. But there is another option that is safe, and that is online schooling. But no, we cannot go back to school safely in a classroom setting with a raging pandemic. That is simply not possible. There's no way that you can have that in a classroom setting and not spread the virus. And the biggest person at risk is not the students, but the teacher. If there's no teacher, there is no school. So that doesn't make sense. We have to protect the teachers. Oftentimes we forget that the backbone of schools is teachers. Without those teachers, your kids don't learn. We don't value teachers enough, and that's why I think we're even having this discussion. I value teachers. I understand that they're all overworked and underpaid. We all know that. But then when it comes to this discussion, suddenly that's left out. These are people who have sacrificed to teach our children. How can we forget them? They would be compromised by having kids from all over coming in and being exposed to them. These are people who have health conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure and other things. And they will be vulnerable, and it's not acceptable risk. If for nobody else, for the teachers. And I hear public health people saying, well, the children don't die that much. But that's not the issue. The teachers dying would be the issue. Teachers being exposed is the issue. There would be no school when that teacher is no longer able to teach. That's crazy. You cannot do that safely because the teacher would be missing in this equation, that you can't just make it about whether or not kids are affected by this virus. And that's what I'm not hearing people say. And the truth is, no, therefore, we cannot go back to school safely with this pandemic. It is not a good idea.
So you pretty much think that social distancing is not possible at the elementary, middle, and high school levels.
Have you been around children? I have kids. I'm laughing. Really? Children will be children, okay? It is unreasonable to expect children to see their friends after a whole long summer and all and not want to run and play with them. They're telling me, now if this was for 1 hour or maybe just a little short time, maybe you're going to do this for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and they're just going to stay 6 feet apart? Just be reasonable. That's not going to happen. It's not possible. You are being ridiculous to think that is even possible. It will not happen.
Ultimately, who is responsible for your kids' safety at schools?
Okay. This is actually something that I need people to understand. It's a tough question. As a parent, you need to know this. You, as a parent, I'm telling you, I am the only one that is responsible for my children's safety. Nobody else. You shouldn't delegate that to anybody else. It is your responsibility to make sure that your kids are safe. And furthermore, the government believes that too, because if you don't keep them safe, they'll come in and take them from you, because that's your job, okay? So they're telling you that is your job. So if I were, for instance, being told that I have to put my kid in an unsafe environment, like some crazy folks are saying now, I would say, okay, I will do that on one condition. You're going to sign that you're going to be responsible for them. Because remember, it's already understood that I'm responsible for them. But you're telling me you're going to take over my job, and you're now going to be responsible then. So if anything happens to them, I will sue you. Because you made me do what was unsafe. Do you see the problem? You can't do that. You can't tell people that, you have to have your kids come back to school. If I don't think so as a parent, you cannot make me do that, or you're liable because you're forcing me to do something that puts my kids at risk. So it's a huge problem that they're overlooking. They cannot do that. It's unwise for people. In fact, I would tell schools that if you are being forced to take kids back because parents are telling you to take kids back, that you should say they can come back, but they'll have to sign a waiver of liability, that we, the school, is not responsible. You are the one who's forcing us to put them in an unsafe environment. That's how it needs to be said, because believe you me, if it's said like that, nobody, no parent will sign a form that says, like, you know, somebody had a recent rally and did no social distancing or wearing a mask. And at that presidential rally, he had a waiver for that reason. Remember, he has good lawyers. Lawyers that anybody come to your rally, you make sure they sign this form that you are not going to be responsible. So same way, if I were a school, I would make sure that parents sign this form before they put their kids in the school. How much you bet that no parent would sign that form? They would say, okay, if I have to sign this form, my kids don't need to be here. That's what they would all say. These policies are things that need to be stated, and nobody's doing it, and it's going to be an issue in the future. When people die, when things happen, somebody's going to get sued. Trust me, there needs to be a waiver of liability if you're forcing me to do something that's unsafe.
Well, what advice?
You're responsible.
What advice do you have to parents who cannot teach their children at home?
Okay. I am one of those such parents. I can't teach my kids at home. I'm too busy. So I understand. And so parents, they cannot do it because they have to go to work. So believe you me, I empathize with that situation. There's no head two ways about it. If you have a school-age child, you know, that you cannot stay at home and homeschool. And by the way, let me just clarify something, because some people don't understand. I used the word wrong just a minute ago. Homeschool is different from online schooling. And actually, people, the year before this happened that I learned that, not everybody might know that. Homeschooling means you, the parent, is teaching your kid at school at home. You don't have any other teacher. You're homeschooling them yourself. You are the teacher at home. That's homeschooling. Online schooling is what I'm proposing, not homeschooling. Online schooling in which the teachers, their regular teachers, are the ones doing the teaching, not you, the parent. You're only supervising the children while they are at home. You are not the teacher. The teachers are, they're doing this exactly like they're in school, except they're not in front of you. That's the only difference. Online schooling is just as effective as in-person if done right. There are lots of schools out there that have done it, that have thousands of students and have been successful with online schooling. It's not a new thing. People just didn't know about it, but it has been going on. So let me say first, I would say to parents, if you cannot, you have to go to work, and you do not have somebody to take care of your child so you can't leave them at home. By the way, that only applies to elementary and middle school kids. That does not apply to any high school students because they're old enough to stay at home by themselves. And if you don't think they're responsible enough, there's a thing called a camera. You can install a $30 camera that you can spy on them all day long. I do it. And if they're not sitting at their computer and doing their schoolwork, you can take care of their business, okay? Make sure they do it. If they know that they're being watched, they're not going to fool around. It is a new norm. You cannot just think they're just going to do it. They have to know that there's consequences. You better show up for school. You better do what the teacher says. And if not, I'm going to get a call, or I'm going to get an email, and you're going to be in trouble. Parents, that's our job, to discipline our children and teach them to do what's right. That's our job. Parents better be able to do that job. Now, we have some parents that are not doing a good job of that. That's a whole other issue. We heard that there were some kids that were texting their teacher when we had the last shutdown at 2 a.m. in the morning about their assignment. So somebody's not doing their job. Those kids are supposed to be sleeping at 2 a.m. So let me tell you, as a parent, I have implemented a new policy. I don't let my kids keep their phone all night long. I think this is very important for people to hear this. I realized that they were texting and doing crazy stuff in the middle of the night when they should be sleeping. I'm like, no phones at night. We confiscate their phone every night. They cry every night. Who cares? We are the parents. It's not our job to have them as our friends. It's our job to teach them right. You cannot leave phones. That's like opening up. You might as well have the TV in their room all day long. I know some crazy people do that too. You're not supposed to do that either. Parents have to be parents, and you have to understand you're responsible to train your children, to discipline them, and to let them follow your orders because you have their best interests at heart. And your kids should know that because you've shown them that you love them. That should not be questionable. But, yes, they will fight against it. My kids do every single night. What do you mean, Mommy? Why do I go? I keep my phone because give me your phone. Okay? I said so, and that's it. Because I know. We've already caught them doing that, and that's why we confiscated the phones at night. Then we hear these crazy stories about what happened. When they had the first shutdown, it was not done properly. Why? It took everybody by surprise. Nobody was expecting a pandemic. Well, not us anyhow. So people at the top knew, but not us. Bottom line is we've had months to prepare now for a new norm. And it's time, if people aren't yet on board, for you to get on board.
Do you think it should be a national school policy?
Absolutely. It needs to be a national school policy. Everything regarding the coronavirus needs to be handled at a national level. It should not be left to state by state and all of that. And there are some good reasons for that. One, realize this virus started where? In China, right? How many miles away is that? Like 8,000 plus miles away traveled? What's the chance that it's going to travel from state to state then, or county to county? How can you have a different policy in the next county? That doesn't make any sense. You're forgetting it's a pandemic. It therefore calls for national leadership, which unfortunately has been failing us. It has to be from the top. It should be from the top. And it is a failure that we do not have national leadership on this. There should be a federal policy that says students should return to school via online learning, and we will do what we have to do to make that possible. That means there are some poor kids that don't have internet or don't have access to a computer. We will make that available to them. There are already many schools that give kids a laptop every year, and all they do is they sign it out and sign it back in. You don't own it, and they can't put anything. My kids in school were doing that. They couldn't put anything else but schoolwork on that laptop. This is not rocket science. There are already enough people that were doing this and doing online schooling that they could have, if they didn't have a clue how it's done, talk to those people who are successful and say, okay, we're going to go with best practices. This is what has worked for umpteen people, then it will work for everybody if we all do it. It's not one or two kids we're talking about. Thousands of kids are online schooled. You could have gone to those experts and find out what is necessary and let us do it, because we knew this summer that we had a problem, that this virus was not gone away like we were told it would be. So we have to come up with a policy because school year is coming up. So the kids have to know what they're going to do. Parents need to know what to do to get in line. You can't wait to the 11th hour to tell them, because they will have to get in line. They will have to make arrangements because things have changed. So this needed to be done from the top. And, yes, this is my idea, what I think as a parent and as the prior teacher and as an entrepreneur and someone that have decided that I myself will not send my kids to any classroom setting with a raging pandemic. It is unsafe. Therefore, everyone should be told that. Only in the instance where there is a challenge, where there is parents who cannot stay home and the kids are too young to stay home on their own, as in elementary school especially and some middle school, then that's the only case that we will make an exception and allow the kids to come to school. But those kids will not be taught by some teacher in the school. They're still going to be at school doing online schooling. The teacher will be home because we got to protect our teachers because we actually value them. Don't just say so. Actually put your words, your mouth where your words is. You've got to protect those teachers. So, no, your kids won't be seeing the teacher. But online, she or he will be in front of the teacher absolutely every day to make sure that the child is keeping up with their schoolwork, that they understand everything. Teachers will make sure, because we have taught them, they've got to be very interactive, they got to get the kids involved, the kids have. It's a different way. It is online schooling, but it can be done correctly. It can be done effectively, and that's what needed to happen this summer. Teachers needed to learn how they do that effectively, because it's going to be a different way. And this can still be done. It's still not too late. It's still not too late for us to have a national policy that all kids have to be online schooled, and only in the instance where there is a challenge, where the parent cannot do it and has nobody else that would help them, only then would the child be allowed to come to school. Well, I have something to tell you. A school actually has done that, and the school had only four students that is going to be coming to school because they made it a policy that only if you have that situation when you have to, you cannot allow your kids to stay at home, then we will allow you to bring them to school. And only four kids, as a result, only four kids ended up at that school. So they don't have the teacher there. They are online with the rest of their classmates, with their teacher at home, doing online schooling in the school building. That can be done safely. Thus, those four kids are being watched by someone. And yes, maybe with just four kids you can do social distancing. But with a whole ton load of people, no, that's not possible. But that is the policy that everyone should have done. And again, there's always the people who are smart enough to figure it out themselves. And I give kudos to this school. GAAA in Atlanta and BCJ implemented that policy, and their students are at home. Only four students are going to be in their school building learning online schooling, and it absolutely works. It works.
Should every parent of a school-aged child know about the coronavirus?
Well, they should know, first of all, that the coronavirus is very infectious, very contagious. We take it for granted, but understand, as a doctor, that I know there has never been another virus, no other virus, including the Ebola virus, no other virus that has been raging pandemic during the summer that has infected more people now than back when it started. There's no such thing. Usually in the summer, viruses die out. That's why you don't have the flu virus in the summer. It doesn't exist because the viruses don't do good in the sun or in light or in heat. They don't. But this virus somehow is surviving all that. So that's the first thing is don't play with this virus. And you think it's doing this now in the summer? Wait till the cold comes. Wait until fall comes. People are going to be dying like flies because that's when it rages and the flu virus is going to come back. Watch what's going to happen when you have a flu virus coincided with the coronavirus. Oh, we're talking about overwhelming the healthcare system. This is our future because we're making all the wrong decisions. It has to now because we are going to have a mess on our hands. Understand, when you overwhelm the healthcare system, that means somebody had a heart attack and you can't even give them a bed to save their life because everybody in there is in there for the virus. Everybody's on ventilators. You can't do that. We cannot do that. We have to understand there are consequences to bad decisions. We cannot make those bad decisions. We have to make policies that make sense because it will affect people and lives are at stake. People will die this fall that would not have died had we made better policies. It is that much at stake. So, yes, I want parents to know that they ought to take this thing seriously, no matter what anybody is telling them. The truth is in the pudding. It is this amount of people dying in the summer, we're in trouble. Take heed to that and take care of your children. That is your responsibility. Keep them safe. Keep them at home. That is your responsibility. Okay?
All right. Well, how can parents and children win the battle against COVID-19?
Well, that's the good news, and I'm glad we're talking about that because that's where I live. The good news is we can actually combat the virus and win. There are many countries that have done it, and so that's the great news is we're not the only ones, and our story is only bad because it's our story. It is not the story of the rest of the world. There are only a few countries that are doing as badly as we are doing, and we're the worst, by the way. We have over 5 million people infected in the U.S. alone. For the entire world, there's 20 million. So we have one-fourth. We're not one-fourth of the world. That's crazy. We don't have one-fourth of the population of the world. No. China has more people than us. China has less infections and less deaths than us. So, hello, what are they doing that we are not getting? They're doing prevention. they're doing prevention. Everybody's in the same boat. Nobody has a vaccine. Nobody yet has a treatment. Those things take time. What everybody has is prevention, and that's what everybody's using. So why are we not using it? Because we're crazy. Because it's free. It's prevention. It is simple things that you can do to combat the virus. You can do those things that make your body healthy. In addition to, of course, preventing the spread of the virus, like wearing a mask and washing your hands and so on, to keep yourself healthy, you need to boost your immune system. It's now more than ever. You need to do the things we as public health people have been telling people to do for a long time. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to take care of your body, because that's the bottom line. If you are compromised, and by the way, even if you don't have a disease, if you're not doing these things, if you're not sleeping, for instance, you compromise your body. So if you get infected with the virus, you could have some more severe illness than you would have if you hadn't just taken better care of yourself. So everybody needs to be doing these things that we've been saying. That is eating right, eating more fruits and vegetables, eating things that are healthy. We all know it. Get your kids to eat vegetables. I know a lot of people who their kids don't eat vegetables. Well, let me say, I have kids too. They're just like any other normal kids. They don't like every vegetable too. You have to find ways to make your kids like vegetables, okay? You put it in stuff. You add it to their smoothies. You add it to other things, soups and so on, so that you make it that they're getting the vitamins and minerals in these fruits and vegetables, because that's the only place you get vitamins and minerals, not from meat and so on, but from fruits and vegetables. You make sure you put that in their food. That is the stuff that we parents have to do, that they still make sure you flavor it. Make sure it's tasty. Use things like garlic and onions and sage and rosemary. All these things are actually good for you. They actually impart things like they're actually antivirals. I especially mentioned those because they are antiviral. Garlic, especially, amazing food. Sage, oregano. All of these are antiviral agents that you're consuming, that you're boosting your immune system with to fight should you come in contact with someone. Because, you know, 5 million people have it. You may come in contact with someone. You need to be proactive. You need to boost your immune system to be strong, eat right, exercise. Get in the sunlight for at least 15 minutes, because that increases your vitamin D. Vitamin D is low in most people, especially African Americans. They say as much as 80%, so almost every African American. Basically, you're African American, just assume you are deficient in vitamin D. So you need to go out in the sun. Stop hiding from the sun. You need to go out in the sun for just 15 minutes. We didn't say go out there and cook. Just 15 minutes, okay? So you can get your vitamin D, because that is a very, especially we're finding out with this, people who are low in vitamin D are at more risk with this coronavirus. So you need to do that. And while you're out there, I say just get your exercise in. So I go 30 minutes every day outside because I need to keep my body healthy. That's not hard. That's not hard at all. You're home anyhow. Do it. Go outside. It's healthy, and you don't need to wear a mask when you're out there exercising, because you're out in the sun. You're out in the air. There's no, you're not going to spread the virus. The air is going to be diffused. There's no problem there, so you don't need to be exercising with mask on. Just go out and enjoy the fresh air. It's good for you. And lastly, get your rest. Get rest. Drink water. Water. These are simple things that don't cut. Drink your water. Get 8 hours of sleep every night. Drink your water instead of drinking sugary drinks. In fact, don't bring any sugary drinks at home, because if you bring it home, then the kid's going to eat it. Don't bring it home, then it's not a problem. They will drink water. Mama, there's nothing else to drink. Drink water. That's what your body needs right now. If we do those things, we can help boost our immune system, and we can combat the virus. We can. And we will eventually, the virus will eventually die, but the problem is, how long is that going to be? If we don't make the right decisions now, it's going to last 2 to 3 years. If we made the right decisions right now, like other countries, we could have this virus gone in a month. that's why I, as a public health person, is so upset about what's going on, because we could have been done with this already, as have other countries. There are countries that have zero cases. We are the United States of America. We have the most money. We have the most resources. Our GDP is higher than any other country in the world, and they can get a control of this and we can't? That's shame on us. We can do this. We can combat this virus. We can get rid of it so our children can go back to the school classroom, classroom setting the next school year. I don't think it's going to happen this school year. Let's be real. We're not making the right decisions. But if we finally get it together, get our act together, then this will only last a year instead of 2 or 3 years. But people need to understand that. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Unless we all suddenly, if everybody heard me and suddenly did everything I said, that's not going to happen. If they did, it actually could be history before fall. But they're not going to. Let's get real. I'm sorry. I don't have that authority like some people to be able to get everybody to do that. But I hope and pray that every one of our listeners today understand that I'm sharing this with you as a parent, as someone who loves children, as someone who has been a teacher, and as someone who actually understands public health. I was taught public health. Public health is doing the most good for the least amount of cost to keep our nation healthy. That has not been going on. People are compromised, and they're not telling you what they should be saying. I don't have those. No government pays my salary. So I am telling you the truth. So please trust me when I say do what you need to do to boost your immune system, stay healthy, and keep your children safe. That is more important than even if they learn something, being safe, because a dead child is not make any sense. That nobody should even tolerate even one child dying. And we already have had a ton of children that have died from this virus. Don't listen to people on that. It's no child. Yes, it doesn't affect all children as badly as it affects adults, but there are still some children that have died from this virus. And you don't want to be that statistic. I don't want my child to be that statistic, so I'm not taking that chance. They're staying home. And I'm telling you, this is what should be going on the entire United States. You know what I want to share? One last thing I want to share with you. My husband is a family practice physician, and he had a patient come into his office who had the virus. And she had the fever and everything and went home and isolated. And she called him back later on, days later, and said, I'm still having struggling with my breathing. So he said, come on in. The lady came in, and he immediately examined her and looked at her and said, oh, my gosh, you need to go to the hospital. You need to go to the hospital. And she said, no way. I cannot go to the hospital because I have dogs. I have dogs, and I have nobody. Nobody will take care of the dogs. I can't leave them. No, I cannot go to the hospital. And my husband said, no, ma'am. You have to go to the hospital. And she insisted, I cannot go to the hospital. Well, a nurse overheard this. And it turns out, she just said, excuse me, may I help? Can I take care of your dogs for you? And she doesn't know this person from Adam. She's like, what? You're willing to take care of my dogs? She's like, yes. I love dogs. I have dogs. It'll be no problem. You can take care. I'll be happy to come and take care of your dogs for you while you're gone. She could not believe it. She said, well, I'm willing to pay you to do it. She said, no, you don't need to pay me. I'm happy to do that for you. I said, oh, my goodness. Therein lies the solution that everybody has counted out. It's called the human spirit. How many people love children more than dogs? How many people? You've counted them out. You have counted out the human spirit. You have counted out that if we made these policies, that everybody's going to be, oh, they can't. You haven't relied on that. If a parent says, I can't do it, that other parents and other people will say, are you kidding me? I'll be happy to take care of Johnny. I'll be happy to help. I love kids. Bring them over to my house. I'll make sure that they're online schooled. We completely counted that out? Why are we counting out the human spirit? We should not. We need to realize that people will step up and help. Just like in wars, if we handle this the right way, this is a war on health that can take us out like any other thing. If we handle this right, we could actually be a better nation. We'd be a kinder nation. People would finally know people that they didn't know that around them. She didn't know that she had a neighbor right there that was willing to take care of her dogs for her. Guess what? You know they're going to be friends for life now. These are good things that could come out of this scenario. We only dwell on the bad. We only want to rehearse the problems, and we don't see the opportunities, and that there is a way for all of us to achieve what we need to despite this and make ourselves a great nation again. It needs to happen by allowing people to have the opportunity to help others. And it can happen, and it should happen. I'm very excited that I heard that story from my husband, because immediately when I heard it, I went, oh, my goodness. I didn't think about it. We counted out the human spirit. People will help those who are unable to homeschool their children, to online school their kids. People will rally if they know this is a national policy. And this poor, you know, mother of this child cannot do it, I will step up and help that mother. It really is not going to be a problem if we take the right actions. We just need to do it. We need to stop being wishy-washy. We need to have leadership that says this is what has to happen, and it will happen. It will happen,
right.
And our kids would be safe.
Well, Dr. Okay. Wallace, tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, happy to say that you can reach our station 24 hours a day at 360hbn.com. You can go to YouTube and go to 360 Health Broadcasting Network, and you will pull us our programs up 24 hours a day, programs that deal with every aspect of health. So if you're dealing with diabetes, for instance, we have a diabetes show. You're dealing with heart disease. We have a cardiologist that tells people how to stay healthy, how to be able to get rid of the high blood pressure and other problems that you have. We have health programs that are mainly dealing with prevention, healthy lifestyle, living. We have tons of cooking classes and exercise programs and tons of things, and they're absolutely free. Nobody has to pay for it. You just go on, you just log in, go to YouTube or going on 360HBN directly on your computer or your Apple TV or any of these devices that you have, and you can watch us from anywhere around the world 24 hours a day. If you do want to reach my office, you can call us at 678-878-3870. There's an extension for me if you want to reach me directly or speak with someone else, 678-878-3870. But I am happy to, I feel so privileged and honored that I was able to share these concerns, things about what we need to be doing for our children, because nobody's more important. Our future is all about our children. So thank you so much for that opportunity, Sparkplug. I really appreciate it.
All right. With Dr. Debbie Wallace, CEO of 360HBN, the number one health TV network in the world, thanks for spending some of your most precious and valuable time with us today.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. You have a great day.
You too now. You've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines the spotlight on people doing big things in Metro Atlanta and beyond. To listen to even more people you need to know, just Google Spark Plug Radio and be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. To view the digital version of People You Need to Know Business Guide, please visit sparkplugpr.com. If you'd like to find out how you can be a guest on our show, please give us a call at 770-460-5995. I want to take a moment to thank my production team for doing another incredible job behind the scenes. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio.